Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Is this the year for Charles County, Maryland? Well, just today, the new Nice Middleton Bridge opened, connecting Maryland to Virginia this summer. Charles County surpassed Prince George's County as the wealthiest majority black county in the U.S. Well, the county is experiencing growth and growing pains. How is it all being managed? Well, tonight, we'll talk about the past, present, and the future for Charles County. My guests are Charles County Commissioner Thomasina Coates and Maryland Delegate Edith Jerry Patterson, Democrat representing the 28th District. If you have any comments or questions for the Commissioner or the Delegate regarding Charles County, we're talking about it tonight, and lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Commissioner, Delegate, thank you both for joining the conversation.
It's my pleasure. Hello, I'm Delegate Edith Patterson. It's my pleasure to be on with you tonight.
Thank you so much. Commissioner, can you hear me?
Thank you. Yes, this is Commissioner Thomasina Coates, as well as my pleasure being here tonight to speak about Charles County.
Well,
thank you so much.
Well, thank you both for being on the program. Let me first start with congratulations on the Nice McMiddleton Bridge opening up today, because, as I'm sure you both know, for people who may have never across the old bridge, the only thing they've heard about it is on traffic reports, and there are problems on the Nice McMiddleton Bridge. But now you've got a new bridge. It's bigger. It's better. It opened early. I'll start with you, Delegate. What do you think that this symbolizes for Charles County? Because it's more than just a bridge back and forth from Maryland to Virginia.
Absolutely. Thank you for the question. It's my pleasure being with you tonight. Yes, the Nice Middleton Bridge is one of the key arteries from the north to the south. And so we have worked for over 15, 20 years to try and get funding and partnerships to make sure that the bridge is open. It involved a lot of dialogue, a lot of strategies, and because it is both Maryland as well as Virginia, Dahlgren, and because it enters on the side of Dahlgren base, there were several challenges that we had to deal with, even with the structure and where the bridge would actually land on the Virginia side. So I will simply say that with the partnership and the support from the Department of Transportation, as well as federal government and county, we were able to see the opening of the bridge today. It opened early.
Yep.
I will simply say it didn't please everyone, full disclosure, because there was an interest in having a bike trail or hiker trail, pretty much what's happened with the Wilson Bridge. That was not a decision that won favor. But we're very pleased because we know for the residents who live in the southern part of Charles County, it was simply a nightmare. On holidays, on weekends, there were bottlenecks. And so hopefully this will relieve some of the traffic. But again, it is a major artery. It's an evacuation unit. And so we're very pleased to see today.
Yeah. Commissioner Coates, from your perspective, this is new. This, for some people, puts Charles County on the map, particularly for people who may not be wholly familiar with that part of Maryland. What does it symbolize to you?
It's symbolized quite a bit. I thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
But absolutely, I had the opportunity to actually be at the dedication today. It was phenomenal. It was exciting. It was an opportunity to look at where the bridge, at the time the bridge bridge that developed about 80 years ago to the current bridge, to kind of look at the difference. And it was surprising enough, as we were standing there during the dedication, the traffic on the opposite side was just honking and bumping. There was filled with so much excitement. It kind of like gave it a different perspective, and a great perspective. And plus, we look at it in Charles County, because it is part of our Charles County legacy and heritage, we look at it as an economic factor. It's an economic opportunity for Charles County. And traffic and a traffic reduction to help support some of that traffic flow through to from Charles County across to Virginia. A lot of people don't know that it goes from Charles County to Virginia. I so appreciate it. It was a great part of history that I was part of today. It was a very exciting opportunity. But thank you for asking.
Sure thing. Probably one of the biggest pieces of news regarding Charles County this summer, as I mentioned in the open, is that it is now the wealthiest, and some could argue most affluent, predominantly Black county in the U.S. That is a title that had been held by Prince George's County literally for decades. I can tell you just from a personal note, having, number one, grown up in Prince George's County, but also having lived in other parts of the country, that there are people from other parts of this country who knew about Prince George's County holding that particular designation, even going all the way back to the 90s. But now Charles County has that. To what do you attribute that, Commissioner Coates?
So that's a great question. I often get asked that question. We attribute that to we have had a population boom, a population growth, and a population growth with most of our demographic is moving from Prince George's and from the suburban areas around the Washington, the District, Maryland, Virginia area. And so with that, they saw an opportunity here in Charles County to move and invest here in our county. We have great public school education system. We have, what I call is kind of a three-tier, almost four-tier. We have the urban, we have the suburban, we have rural, and we have waterway. So, you know, who wouldn't want to move to Charles County? So, and we have great opportunities and our buying power. So a lot of the surrounding areas and population around the surrounding areas thought that Charles County was a great opportunity to move here and either raise families and also provide that legacy for their families and their children to grow up here in Charles County, as I did. I'm a native Charles County, and I'm still here. My children and grandchildren are here too. So, we welcome. We're so excited, and we're so pleased to see this population and the demographic change as well as the population growth.
You know, Delegate Patterson, the commissioner just spoke about, you know, some of the economic power, but what about the political power? You know, there's a saying in Maryland, as Baltimore and Prince George's go, so goes the state house, so goes the state. But with this particular designation and one could argue newly realized Black economic power in Charles County, do you see that also translating into political power, or do you think that it still sticks with Prince George's?
I think that when I've been here since 74, and certainly I've seen the changes politically, obviously the growth, demographics, et cetera, and economic growth as well. And certainly when we were first, you know, chartered, we had a three-member Board of Commissioners. Now it's five. We had seven members on the Board of Education. Now it's nine. And when we look at the Maryland General Assembly in terms of leadership, I'm very pleased to see that Charles County has leadership in economic matters, which is, if you listen to Delegate Rolson, he will say it is the most powerful committee in the State House, and it is. in terms of other subcommittees, we have leadership there. Certainly in Charles County, I'm chair of the Southern Delegation, which is Calvert Charles and St. Mary's County. Delegate Davis is the chair of the Charles County Delegation. So, yes, we have been key players in terms of the election of governors and key political leaders for the past 20, 30 years, and we continue to make sure that Charles County is blue. That political power that we have here will only expand when we have cheerleaders who understand the necessary of changing, transitioning. Right now, we're home rule. That may change your charter form of government, which is pretty much aligned to Prince George's County. So, yes, I do see in the future changes within our governmental political structure. And I will say, I have to do a shout out. My son was a Democratic nominee for County Commissioner District 4. So I'm really proud of Ralph Patterson because, again, we're having young people, visionaries, add on to some of us who have legacy.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I'll allow you that that one shout out. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about changes in Charles County, growth and growing pains. How are those things being managed? If you have a comment or question, give us a call. Let me go to Tammy. Tammy, calling from Charles County. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Tammy, are you there? Tammy, give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Ray. Ray calling from Waldorf. Ray, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for having me. I love your show.
Thank you so much.
I listen to you every evening coming in. I've been in Charles County now for going on about 6 years, and I've seen a lot of the growth, development, and you're right. There's a lot of prominent people that move to Charles County because they work in these tech industries and so forth. And they like the suburban life and all the things that advantage to it. I recently, so I'm going to get to my question. I just recently went to my son's parent-teacher conference, and I noticed something that with Charles County and his education, I see you built St. Charles High School. I saw that Billingsley was just built, which are both great schools. Two of my kids attended both of them. What are you planning to do about the middle school? Because in this parent-teacher conference, I noticed that there is an increase with the students to teachers, as it was with the St. Charles situation and the Billingsley situation. So are there any plans in the future for expanding your middle schools?
Whoever wants to take that, I'll...
We just had, with the last election, let me make sure I don't have an echo. With the last legislation, we passed legislation that will afford, we're looking at a work group to give the school system more opportunities to develop partnerships, public-private partnerships, focusing on meeting the needs of accelerating the building of schools. Right now, within the guidelines of the Board of Ed, they will give you a sense of what schools are being planned. But typically, it is the number of seats that are available within the communities. And certainly, I'm not sure which community it is. If it's in Waldorf, near the St. Charles community, I would surmise that there are plans for middle as well as elementary schools.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, because I saw that, you know, I saw that development with the high school, St. Charles, and then I saw it with Billingsley. And I was just wondering, because sitting there, I was seeing the increase in students, and I'm saying, are they going to follow the same progressive path in building a middle school as they did with the high school and the elementary school? So thank you for answering my question.
Okay. Thank you so much for that.
And that would be next.
Thank you so much for your comment, Ray. We are talking all things Charles County tonight, growth, growing pains, and how the changes are happening in Charles County. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mark, calling from Charles County. Mark, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm glad this topic is here. We moved down here about a little over 20 years ago to Bryan's Road just across the line. And we thought we found paradise. You know how you get somewhere, you're like, hey, this is perfect. And then you see the growth, and you're sort of uneasy about it. But you have to kind of accept it, and I kind of appreciate it. Now, you know, the growth and the little more dense, and then you got the harbor just up the road. So you just have to accept that. But I do appreciate the fact that Charles County is progressing. I've seen it. I've been here, and I just hope it stays the same. I know the police get a lot of kind of friction here, but even that's kind of improved. So it looks like it's a trying county as well as growing. So it is good, and I've met those folks that you have on the line during the voting seasons, and we've got to keep it up.
Mark, before I let you go, and before I take a quick break, where did you and your family move from?
Well, I'm originally from D.C., and when I first moved to Maryland, I was in Prince George's County.
Mm-hmm.
So I was from Virginia. I was in the Greenbelt, you know, Riverdale area when I was very young, but when my first home purchase was in Charles County.
Okay.
Because one of the smart realtors said, hey, if you don't mind driving 20 miles, it's a $50,000 difference. And
yeah.
So we drove the 20 miles.
Mark, thank you so much for your comment. On the other side, we're going to talk about the traveling, the traffic, and some of the other changes that are coming to Charles County, Maryland. So please stay with us. If you're on the line, that includes Sam calling from Waldorf. Stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back with more of this conversation about the changes in Charles County. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about the past, the present, and the future of Charles County. My guests are Charles County Commissioner Thomasina Coates and Maryland Delegate Edith Jerry Patterson, a Democrat representing the 28th District. If you have a comment or a question about changes in Charles County, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Delegate, let me start with you, but I also want the commissioner to address this. You know, Mark was talking about he made a choice. Obviously, he got more bang for his buck when he bought a home in Charles County. But one of the biggest issues that Charles County has, and indeed, you know, Southern Prince George's, is getting from here to there and dealing with the traffic issues. Is that going to be on the table during the next legislative session in trying to get easier access from the north to Charles County? Delegate, I'll let you start.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. It is always an issue that we address in terms of transportation. And if you note that one thing that we've done is, and it should open soon, is the Waldorf bypass behind that runs parallel with 301. That will take some of the traffic off the roadways. We have just received funding, a sizable amount of funding from the federal government to do studies for light rail transit. That will take several years. But it is, and then we're looking also at having designated bus lanes. But the bigger issue for us is we want to develop an economic base here in Charles County so that people don't have to leave the county, that they stay here, that they have opportunities that are comparable with what's occurring in the Washington, D.C. area. When you look at 210, because, again, those are projects that we funded several years ago, that traffic has been
redirected with overpass. And so we're going to continue with that. There are some bottlenecks, and we know where they are. But we also are taking some of the traffic off of 301 and putting it on the bypass. Years to come, again, we'll have light rail, and the more immediate response would be the designated bike lanes. Within the county, we have Van Gogh. That's transit within the county, and again, is looking at having transit stops that will pick up citizens who live within Charles County and need to move from one point to the other. But funding is coming from the state as well as federal government, and then I'm going to let Commissioner Coates share information as it relates to county funding for Van Gogh.
Go ahead, go right ahead, Commissioner, briefly before we can move on to some other issues.
Thank you. Absolutely. So, yeah, transportation needs, that is a priority of our commissioners. And one of the transportation priorities the delegate spoke about was when she speak about bypass. We have something called the 301 Western Parkway that is under development as we speak. That project is to, within the next few years, should be connecting Prince George's to Charles County. That's heading for 301 north and southbound. We also, as the delegate spoke about, is the light rail. That's one of the projects that we've been working on for many, many, many years. Again, we've received the feasibility study through the state. That study is underway. Additional funding is also being provided through our federal entities partners. MTA commuter bus transportation. Most of us who commute during that time, during my era of commuting, were familiar with the MTA commuter bus transportation. During COVID, through the pandemic, we had a decrease in that, and now we're at what we call considered kind of a hybrid workforce. We have some working at home, and some working actually having to commute. Now, the one thing I highly encourage is that, you know, we get these cars off the road for commuter, because our commuter buses are only probably about maybe 50% capacity. And as we increase the ridership, they will increase more bus transportation for commuters.
Mm-hmm.
Because the majority of our traffic is in the mornings and evenings during the high volume commute time.
Yeah.
And speaking of Van Gogh, it is a local transportation need. It was free, and I believe it still is free right now to ride Van Gogh until the funding, of course, run out. As anything, when funding runs out, it will no longer be free. But at this point in time, this is what we have.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sam, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Sam. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing? So most of my questions are almost answered.
That's good.
However, this but this is more observation and understanding. So I've been in Waldorf for over 20 years, and, you know, we know the traffic on Crane Highway and everything. It seems like every time we get a handle on it, it gets worse. You know, we took out the stoplights on a certain distance. I hope that worked. The traffic's backing up. We changed the bridge going straight down 5. Now, that's starting to back up. Now, if you go down 5, you can see that because we're so close to Prince George's and Brandywine is building all these new houses and stuff right next to us. And then we get all the traffic that's coming from St. Mary's, so we kind of squeeze in. And then we know that we're building and we're growing and just identify. My question is fast growth too much for us? Are we keeping up with the growth? And what are we doing about cooperation with the other counties as they're building, because I feel like we're getting squeezed in the middle. St. Mary's on one side, Prince George's on the other side with their traffic.
Okay.
And the growth of those areas.
Let me see if the commissioner can briefly address that. Commissioner?
Harold, I'm sorry. I heard some of the
he's concerned about the growth being squeezed by St. Mary and Prince George's and all of the traffic and the like. And he's, you know, just you know, just concerned about the speed with which the county is growing and how that is to be managed. He mentioned new housing, for example, in Brandywine and the like. How do you manage that when you have so many people who have moved to the county?
So, surprising enough, the county, in comparison to Prince George's, is only 168,000 to Prince George's 1 million. So, surprising enough, people think, like, geez, I didn't know there was only that many. Because we're a very large landmass, you know, it looks like we, and most of our population is condensed mostly into the Waldorf area. Waldorf area, and that's something that again that was planned. That was a planned community since the 1970s. So again, and how we manage that is we facilitate. We do work with the other counties. We do actually have what they call a collaboration meeting during that tenure. But a couple times a year, we actually collaborate and talk about matters and issues pertaining to each of our counties. St. Mary's and Calvert, in other words, they are probably about half our population. Most of their commuters, actually, because they have a very robust economic growth down there themselves, little of them come to Charles for any kind of shopping. So they usually come through and touch the top of Charles and Prince George's County for commuting to and from work. But to help facilitate that, whenever there is any type of collaboration, we definitely collaborate. Now, majority of, and I think I heard something about the Prince George's, and you're correct, majority of the traffic actually we see is right in the Prince George's as we cross over the Prince George's line. We do have a great partnership with the Prince George's Council and the county exec there. And often, like as I mentioned before, we do have those conversations and what we can partner. They were a great partner with us with the Smart Rail. That is in the near future, a little far future, but close enough where we can talk about it within a 10-year time span. We hope to continue that partnership. Mm-hmm. But right now, the commuter bus, as I mentioned before, the commuter traffic time frames and patterns are what we are mostly tracking because that's where mostly we see the traffic at the Charles and Prince George's County lines.
Okay. Sam, thank you so much for your phone call. One of the other things that has happened in Charles County recently is the announcement that the sheriff, Troy Berry, he's retiring. He's the first black sheriff in Charles County. But, you know, some would argue that sheriff's departments harken back to an older time for policing in the county. Is it time, Commissioner, to add a police department?
Harold, absolutely. We heard the delegate just talk about charter. I believe we have a new administration that's going to be coming in. I believe that charter would probably be one of the talking points in conversations, because the charter will get us a police department instead of a sheriff department. The sheriff spent 30 years with Charles County, and we graciously had him for 30 years. And so his retirement time, was up. He's like, after 30 years, there's nothing more for me to hang around as a sheriff. But he is an elected official. So again, we have an election in November. So, there's he has no opposition. So of course he's going to be our sheriff, as an elected official. So retiring is a great thing. Police department is a good thing too. But charter form of government is probably where we hope to, and of course it has to go to referendum for a vote in maybe a couple of years. So we put that plan in place, and the task force gets formed, and it will be on the ballot. Hopefully, we hope to have that in a 2-year time frame.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that sheriff's departments don't have their place, because as we know, in the most populated counties and jurisdictions in the state of Maryland, for example, you have sheriff's departments and you have county police departments. We have that in Montgomery. Yeah. We have it in Prince George's. We have it in Baltimore. Right. We have it in Baltimore City. And they often work in conjunction. But the point was that when you have a county that is growing so quickly and the sheriff's departments do the policing and law enforcement, that it could risk not being able to catch up without the addition of a county police department.
Yes.
And you're saying all the right things. This is Delegate Patterson. You're saying all the right things for those of us who advocate for charter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, not only do we have the county sheriff's department, but we also have within the town, we have Opelika Town Police, and then, of course, we have the state police.
Right.
In the county as well.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. Alinda calling from Charles County. Thanks for calling, Alinda. What's on your mind?
Hi. I am a Van Gogh bus driver.
Oh.
And the growth around here has gotten exponential. I mean, we have so many vacant stores, and they're constantly building new stores. The building on St. Charles Parkway is horrendous. I mean, there's nowhere for the animals to even go. The deers are getting hit, like, they're just running across the roads because there's nowhere for them to go. Also, being a Van Gogh driver, I see a lot of the crime rate escalating down here. Every day, our dispatchers have to call the police because the passengers are assaulting one another or assaulting the drivers. And something really needs to be done with the park and ride, the 301 park and ride at Smallwood Drive, because the people there, they treat that park and ride like the beach. They'd be hanging out there, I mean, just doing them, getting drunk, falling out in front of the buses, and I mean, just carrying on crazy out there.
Commissioner, if I may, Alinda, she speaks about the growing pains that I've been discussing throughout this program, and she obviously has a laundry list of concerns and likely isn't alone. Right. So how do you address the rise in crime and other public safety concerns? And Charles County, it may have been sleepy when I was a kid, but it's wide awake now.
It is. It's really awake.
Right. With talk.
It's woke.
Linda, I want to thank you for driving Van Gogh for Charles County government. So appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I've been driving now for 26 years.
Yeah. Oh, well, congratulations. We are growing, and with growing, there are pain. It's painful sometimes. But what I would suggest to Linda is that, you know, we do, you know, she's experiencing some of these activities, but this is why, you know, it's important. And I don't know really if I should ask, if she's able to answer the question. But my question is that does she report these incidents? Because we do have a reporting mechanism to report these incidents and report this behavior. And at any time, you could call the sheriff department, and they will come running. And I know that, you know, these are important things. As far as the animals is concerned, unfortunately, like I said, St. Charles was a planned development community since the 70s. We have 50% of our population. Too bad we can't run the animals into the rural area of the population where they probably will really enjoy it because it's in preservation and conservation, and that's the 50%. You know, it's unfortunate, Linda, that you would have to experience any of these. But, again, do contact the sheriff's department whenever these incidents, because we don't want anyone to be put in danger or any escalation of issues. We do take pride in our public transportation and try to keep our Van Gogh stop. And where they actually transport and transfer areas, we try to keep them as safe as possible from those type of criminal activities. But also in Charles County government, if you go to charlescountymd.gov, you certainly can file a complaint. And I'm sure with your supervisor, Linda, you can file those complaints. Because, again, you're correct. In any county, in any situation, as they grow, they're not going to be exempt from these type of activities. So, you know, definitely we have mechanisms in place not to, you know, necessarily, you know, stop people activity because people are going to do certain things as they choose to do, unfortunately, and we have to deal with it. It'd be nice if everybody was just great, appreciate having public transportation, and be safe and keep everybody safe. But that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But these are some growing pains. And as we continue, we need people like you, Linda, to make sure that you allow and let county government know what the where these issues are happening, who they're with. Are they regulars? Who they're with? Because, again, you know, this is a service we're offering, and not any time is okay to threaten anyone, or in particular a bus driver, as well as the public that's also being serviced. So that is not okay.
Right.
Okay. And we want to help in any way we can.
We've had people kick windows out of buses. We've had people shooting BBs at buses, shooting windows out, and assaulting people at the parking ride, assaulting the drivers. I mean, you know, it's just an ongoing thing. It's every day.
Yeah.
The dispatchers have to call the police 3 or 4 times a day, at least, because people are out there showing off.
Yeah. Well, I think... Commissioner, I think Linda has painted a portrait of some of the work that is cut out for this county that is certainly growing, and I'm glad that she was able to at least put a fine point on it and bring that to your attention. Linda, thank you so much for your phone call. I do want to ask about another issue, race relations in the county. It seems probably one of the biggest headlines over the past 20 years or so was the arsons that happened back in 2004 that were considered a hate crime. Those homes that were burned, those brand new beautiful homes that you know that were burned because, and I speak, you know, as a person who grew up in, you know, in Prince George's County, you know, when we would talk about, or I should say when my parents would talk about Charles County when I was growing up during the 1970s, well, it just wasn't a place that you went because there, you know, there weren't a lot of black people down there. Yes, there were some that had been there for generations in some of the rural areas, but as we've seen these kinds of changes, some of these growing pains have been racial growing pains, just like we had racial growing pains in the outer suburbs of D.C. in Prince George's County when I was a kid, in Bowie and the like. There were tensions, you know, between, you know, black and white. How, and I'll ask both of you, how do you address that? Do you see things improving, or do you believe that there needs to be some additional work? As a matter of fact, let me ask you, a delegate first, and then the commissioner can chime in.
Well, thank you very much. That's very timely. In 2005, I was sworn in as the first minority to serve as a commissioner for Charles County. That was also the year of the Hunters Brook fires. And at first there was a discussion that, oh, no, it was not race-related, it was not a hate crime. And, of course, we found out that was not the case. It was. And so I think it's really important for the county to come to terms with the fact that, yes, racism exists on numerous levels, and it's really important to have people who are in leadership to recognize it and to work very hard to come with some resolution. During that time, we had the blueprint for Charles County, looking at how we can work together. There were several churches that came together, county government. I know I was involved with forums. We brought in Congressman Owens from New York, who helped us out with giving some resolve. And then we, with the presence of more people, more African Americans being involved and engaged in key positions, we saw some changes.
We also saw some people, in full disclosure, exiting. There was a vast exodus of persons who could not deal with the changes from the county. There was more of an influx of people who were diverse arriving in Charles County. And so I think over those years, we've seen the changes. Again, when you look at who are the key leaders, when you look at the county commissioners, when you look at the judges, when you look at people who are in decision-making positions, the presence of fraternal groups and others, you will see it's because we've had a concerted effort to affect change and to be at the table to make decisions that impact and support our diverse population.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner, your thoughts?
Yeah, so diversity has been a challenge throughout my my life. Again, I'm a native Charles Countyan. I've seen, racial tensions or racial issues, and even not as blatant as Hunter's Brook. Of course, I was here during that time as well, but as blatant as Hunter's Brook, even some subtle racial tensions or racial disparities when it comes to just building and African Americans acquiring certain amenities. That has been always the challenge with this county. We have been fortunate enough with the demographic change to secure the majority minority, which I considered it's only about 51%, which I consider kind of a very diverse community. We're extremely diverse at this point, so it is very challenging, and we see that where we're going through pretty much the transition that Prince George's went through during that era of that change, that demographic change.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
It is a struggle. It is a struggle, because the population, because it has been such a tight hole that it's difficult for the individuals that had that tight hole to let go. So to say, hey, you know what? That we have a demographic change, we have a majority African American community, and we need to embrace, love, and cherish what we have here. We are seeing a flight. We're seeing a tremendous great deal of flight right now as we're growing and as we're becoming more diverse and much more African Americans moving to our community. But the thing that Charles County, we did, as now in the next upcoming administration, it looks like we'll probably become the supermajority. We had the majority commissioner, African-American commissioner board. But what we did was something that's never been done before. We hired the first chief equity officer. We actually brought in, we also hired a consultant to do a disparity study. And the disparity study really honed in on the challenges we have with procurement, which we had often. It's like, well, how do African Americans and minorities and women in that case secure some of the procurements and acquisitions? I mean, it was disturbing, although not surprising, but, the numbers were very, very disturbing.
If I may interrupt you, because sure. I'm really sure if I'm short on time, and pardon me, I think that being in a position where having recently needing to, to do that certainly that is an uphill climb, and to really bring the county into into the 21st century, not just for the older residents, not for the rural residents, but even even outside the race relations, technology needs to be. I mean, I have a friend, she lives. I've never been to her place, but she lives down the road in a newer house, but I can't call her on her phone, on her cell phone. I've got to call her on her landline because cell phone service is virtually non-existent. Don't ask me where she lives. I don't know. But
one of my rural areas, Nanjamoy, welcome.
Nanjamoy, thank you.
Nanjamoy, okay.
That's it. Thank you very much. And then there's access to you know, to the internet, which we saw was exacerbated during the pandemic. So these are some of the things that a lot of people who are either moving to Charles County or want to move to Charles County, they want that stuff to be there yesterday.
Absolutely. So these are the amenities. I am so glad you asked that question. These are the amenities that we have fought, and as I have particularly, because it does, I do represent the district in which you're speaking of. And we saw this challenge when we went through the pandemic, when the students were sitting in parking lots of schools just to do their schoolwork. You know, we fought, and I have to say, I fought like crazy to close that disparity gap. And it wasn't until this, and even prior to the pandemic, but it wasn't until the pandemic that the funding, the sources and our, you know, county and the county, federal, state, and everyone realized that, wait a minute, we have a population across the country. We have a population that are going to be left behind because they cannot access internet, because they can't do work, they can't do school. I mean, there are people working from home. So this was a challenge. What we did was we looked into grant opportunity and funding opportunities came available, our county applied. And our first million, like $2 million came from the federal government, indicating, hey, you know what? You got it. Start the project. But as we know, that it takes a lot more than $2 million. Then yeah. COVID happened. And then COVID brings in more funding opportunities. We have quite a bit of funding right now as we speak, and we are dropping lines. Now, we have two challenges. One challenge is the workforce. Now, of course, everyone is having a workforce issue. It's finding those. What I have done was reach out to Bowie State to talk with their IT and their president there to speak about students and other colleges, their community colleges, and colleges to talk about students helping with some of these who are careers are going to be in IT or broadband. So we have been working collaboratively together with our broadband company and our schools and our colleges.
I'm going to have to stop you there because I we could talk another hour about some of the growth and growing pains and challenges ahead for Charles County. And I'd like to have you both back real soon so we can continue this conversation. Very, very important conversation. But again, congratulations on the new bridge and looking forward to seeing great things happen in Charles County. Delegate Edith Patterson and Commissioner Thomasina Coates, I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us. Sure. Good night.
Good night. That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, October 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.